Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. It's 10 a.m. on the East Coast, and I hope you're here with me. It's an hour earlier than it's an hour ahead. Spring ahead. Hope you moved your clocks up and you're listening to me right now, because you know who this is. This is JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. Number to call in, 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. It's March 10th, and you know who's among celebrity birthdays it is today? It's Timbaland. Yes, T-I-M-B-A-L-A-N-D, Timbaland. And what are we going to play today? A Timbaland tune. Happy birthday, Timbaland. We're talking about Carry Out featuring Justin Timberlake. Here we go.
Before I feed your appetite, let me get my ticket, baby, let me get in line. I can tell the way you like it, baby, super size. Hold on, you got yours, let me get mine. I ain't living through the eternal with a clothesline, check it.
Take my order, push your body like a baby out. Let me walk into your body till you hear me out. Turn me on, my baby, don't you cut me out. Turn me on, my baby, don't you cut me out. Take my order, push your body like a baby out. And let me walk into your body till it's lights out. Turn me on, my baby, don't you cut me out.
I take two, number three. That's a whole lot of you and inside of me. Now is it pulling myself to want you pulling me? And if it's room for dessert, then I wanna be. Baby, get my order right, no errors. I'ma touch you in all the right areas. I can feed you, you can feed me. Girl, deliver that to me, come see me. Cause it's me, you, you, me, you. All night, have it your way for play before I feed your appetite. See you.
All right. I'm back. Yes, I said it. This is a JT. This is a Master Plan. And it's a fine Sunday, March 10th. Just like I said when I intro the show, we got a few things I want to talk about. Quite naturally, we're going to talk about some NFL. We're going to talk about somebody who, I wouldn't say got carried out, but got played out in the ring. And we're also going to talk about, like I always said in the last few weeks, we're talking about some baseball, specifically fantasy baseball. And I give you that number again to call in, 347-637-3220. I welcome everyone that's listening to me, whether they're listening or whatever venue they're listening on. As long as you listen to me, that makes me happy, okay? So let's get this show started. First of all, I'm 58 years old. 10 years older than the man that jumped into the ring last night in Brooklyn, New York. Talking about Bernard Hopkins, went up against Tavares Cloud, who had the light heavyweight championship. And guess what, my people? Guess what? In a career filled with making history, the great Bernard Hopkins made more of it on Saturday night. Hopkins, who is, like I said, is 48 and has been fighting for 25 years. That's crazy. Scored a well-earned unanimous decision over Tavares Cloud to win the light heavyweight world title for the third time. In front of a, I wouldn't say of a huge crowd, but it was a crowd of 12,000, almost 300 people at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. By claiming another 175-pound title, Hopkins broke his own record set in 2011 when he was 46 in a rematch with Jean Pascal as the oldest fighter in boxing history to win a major belt. Now, I didn't watch the fight, but I can guarantee you that I happened to get to the fight as it ended, and I saw the decision. But from what I understand, it was clear in the second half of the fight, Hopkins was beating Cloud to the punch and fighting exactly as he wanted to. With a deliberate pace that he was on his way to win, the judges scored it 117-111, 116-112, and 116-112. And if for those who worry about what ESPN has to say about it, ESPN.com would have to say it, they had a 116-112. So they were right on cue. Hopkins now is 53-6-2 with 32 KOs. And I want to play a clip about that Roy Hopkins had, not Roy, Bernard Hopkins, I'm sorry, Bernard Hopkins was interviewed just after the fight from Max Kellerman. And I'm going to play that, and then we'll come back.
With the man himself. Congratulations again for making history, which you seem to do just about every time you fight. What did you do here tonight? How'd you come away with a win?
Well, I spoke to you and Larry Merchant, not Larry Merchant, he's gone, Jim Lampley, and also Andre Ward in HBO's meeting, and basically just want to use my speed and reflexes, which I still have at 48 years old. I want to display...
Philly, Brooklyn in the house! The 40 and up club still rule.
I want to tell all the kids out there and everybody that's in sports, you can do it clean and still don't be good like myself and never take drugs.
Or great like yourself.
Yes, Max. I studied what Nazim was saying, and also I stuck to the plan. I just took a little time to get warmed up, as I said earlier in the HBO's meeting yesterday. I was going to work on combination punches, and it's hard to get adjusted to it when you be throwing one or two punches like I have most of my career. So I was trying to throw four or five extra punches that I normally don't throw, and I seemed to get the rhythm that he wasn't expecting three, four, and five, Max.
Is that what Nazim Richardson meant when he said, now you're finding your rhythm?
Absolutely. And once I found that rhythm, I don't know if it was a fourth or a fifth round, things became easy. And I've seen a lot of telegraphing punches coming from Cloud. But he's a gutsy, strong young champion. I told him that I won't be here for too long, only five more years. And he will be definitely a champion again. But I got a history. I got a history of destroying young champions, and you never see them again.
Bernard, how does it feel now, throughout so much of your middleweight title reign, when you were largely ignored by the media and the networks, and not really well known by the general sports fan? Now you're drawing real crowds wherever you fight, and you've become this star as nearly a 50-year-old. What does it feel like now?
It feels great, and I love these two guys I'm going to mention. Then sharing the spotlight with Roy Jones Jr. in the 90s and James Toney. I was the third child in the house, and then I get a chance to be in the house and get the light on myself, even though at 48. But you know what? Brooklyn came out. Philly came out. Delaware came out. Jersey came out. D.C. came out. Maryland came out. Everybody came out. Everybody came out. Even Let's Get Ready to Rumble. My man came all the way out here from HBO. You know who I'm talking about. Michael Buffer. He got that patent, so nobody tried to use it without getting sued. But thank y'all for coming out. Hopefully I'll box here again and do another historic fight at the Barclays Center. I love you, Brooklyn, HBO, and the other network. I need a home.
Thanks, Bernard, and congratulations again. Just incredible. Jim?
He added Cloud to his epic list of younger favorite fighters he has vanquished, including Felix Trinidad, Antonio Tarver, Kelly Pavlik, and Pascal. And for those of you that don't know who those fighters are, Google them. Google those fighters, Felix Trinidad, Antonio Tarver, Kelly Pavlik, and Pascal. And you'll know who I'm talking about, those are no slouches when I say they're very good fighters. And Bernard Hopkins, for over the years, he's been boxing. Just like he said, he's been destroying young champions, and you never see them again. So he landed 169 of 417 punches. That's 41%. While Cloud connected on 139 of 650 punches. That's 21%. Hopkins also outlanded him in 8 of the 12 rounds. And it's amazing. It's amazing to me that a man 48 years old can do the things that Bernard Hopkins can do. But he is in phenomenal shape, just like he says, you can do it the right way without taking drugs. Bernard Hopkins is the epitome of that, of a man that, despite his chronological age, is fighting probably at least 10 years younger than he should be. You know, a 48-year-old boxing, you would think he would be less likely, especially maybe more than 10 years old. 10 years younger than his chronological age. So I got to hand it to Bernard Hopkins. When you get a chance to watch the fight, if you didn't watch it last night live at the Barclays Center, try to catch it again. I'm definitely going to try to catch it. When I realized it was on, it was too late, and the fight was over, and it was just over. So it is what it is. I have to deal with that and not be able to, because I wanted to watch the fight to see exactly how Bernard Hopkins was going to how I was going to work out with him, fighting a man that was 17 years his junior. But it seemed like he handled himself quite well, which is to say the least. He walked away with a unanimous decision. So, with that being said, let's move on to, I want to talk about some football, because like I said, yesterday when I was on the FSP Cruise Show, which is 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, on Saturdays, this is a chance in the NFL for free agents to be negotiating with whatever team they can get a contract with. The agents, the players can't talk to the teams, but the agents of the players can talk to the teams. Now you're saying, well, what about a player who doesn't have an agent? Well, that player, if he doesn't have an agent, he can't talk to the team until free agency really starts, which is March 12th. So anybody who has an agent has a leg up, because the fact is they can talk to the teams prior, because NFL, I said it yesterday and I said it again today, the NFL has stipulated that agents are able to negotiate with teams to negotiate a contract for in representing the player, but the player can't actually talk to the team until March 12th. So they can have a contract in principle, but come March 12th, the player can actually go to the team facility, can talk to the player. I mean, they can talk to the team, and they can do all the stuff, like maybe walk in, get it physical, maybe work out a little bit, maybe. Whatever the team wants in order to get the player to sign with them. I mean, but they have a preliminary agreement. Agreement in principle in place. It's just a matter of semantics or whatever come the official time that free agents can sign. So you have to think that there's a lot of named players out there that are looking for a home. That still, I feel, can contribute to a team without any problems. Just to name a few, Anquan Boldin, Greg Jennings, Mike Wallace. That's just three wide receivers. And they got running backs, Steven Jackson, Rashard Mendenhall. I'm trying to think of what other running backs out there. Sean Green. There's some other running backs, too. But these are just a few of them. All right? James Harrison Dwight Freeney is a free agent. These guys are free agents. And Charles Woodson, a free agent. So you got to think these guys are going to be looked at, especially if teams are trying to win now. And the players I've talked to, especially the defense players, Harrison, Freeney, which and they're older players. They've been around the league for a while. Carried a big contract or looking for a big contract. But these are the type of players that are going to go to a team, I feel, that wants to win now. Is it in a position to make a serious run for the Super Bowl and need a piece or two or a few pieces to pick up to try to push them over the hump? And in my opinion, the players I named, whether they're offensive players or defensive players, can be valuable pickups, experience-wise, ability-wise, and locker room wise. So there's a lot more talent out there than I just named, and I do believe that somebody's going to pick these guys up and benefit greatly from picking these guys up and we'll see what happens. I mean, there hasn't been too much so far There hasn't been too much in the news about who's doing what. I know for I would say no for a fact, but the news is that the Dolphins are definitely pushing hard for Mike Wallace. 50-50 chance that Anquan Boldin goes back to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm telling you, Houston Texans, Anquan Boldin, telling you, he's absolutely good option for that wide receiver on the other side, experienced wide receiver, or even in the slot. Come on, man. Come on, guys. You can get this thing done. Anyway, let's move on to what I wanted to talk about before. I said I was going to talk about it, and that's what I'm going to do. Talking about baseball, and in particular, fantasy baseball. And to be even more precise, let's talk about. Hold on, let me just get there here. Let's talk about a position on Let's talk about this, okay? I'm going to be talking about position players this week. I've talked about pitchers and catchers. No, I didn't talk about catchers. I talked about pitchers last week. and the week before I named the top players or whatever I named in the week before. Now let's talk about this. Let's talk about what position do I want to talk about today? Let's talk about let's see. I don't want to talk about catchers. Catchers are pretty all hitters. You know what? Let's talk about all hitters. No, I don't want to do that. We'll do this. let's talk about all hitters. That's going to include everyone. Now, everyone still thinks that, for the most part, it's Mike Trout. I don't think so. I think it's still Ryan Braun. So Ryan Braun, in my opinion, is the number one position player out there. You know what? I'm not talking about that. I talked about the players, the top 25, top 50, whatever. I'll talk about this. And this is probably a good place to talk about. Talk about catchers. How we talk about catchers? Everybody always seems to want to grab a catcher early or late. Or I don't know how you guys feel about a catcher. This is how I feel. All right. Most catchers have one position, and most players have. Some players have multiple positions that are listed, and it depends on how many games they play. If a secondary or third position is available to him. In my opinion is this: if I'm playing fantasy baseball, I want players that are multi-position. So if I have a catcher, I understand he's a catcher, but if he can play more than one position, then I can carry two catchers on my team. If you follow me here. So if say one week, Buster Posey is playing, and also if you're fortunate enough to have Yadier Molina, so Yadier is just a single position player. He's a catcher. Buster Posey has two positions. He's a catcher and a first baseman. So your first baseman, if you only have one first baseman available. Because you have Buster Posey as your second first baseman, and your first baseman for that day is off, then you can slide Buster Posey in at first base, but he may not be playing first base at the time, but his secondary position is first base. So you have, in essence, you would have two catchers on your roster or on your lineup that day. Same with Joe Mauer or Carlos Santana. These guys are first baseman DHs. If you have a DH in your league and your DH is off that week or you don't have availability, you can move your guys around because they have more than one position. They're not just playing catchers. They have catcher, first baseman, and DH. There's a few of them that are maybe have an outfield position. But for the most part, they're catchers, and only a select few have more than one position. And I'm just picking out catchers, but this is what I'm saying. One of the other advantages that you can have when you draft a player is if the player is multi-positional, catcher, or second baseman can play shortstop, or even third base, or third baseman can play shortstop or even second base, or an outfielder can play outfield regardless of what outfield it is, and he can play somewhere in the infield because they have more than one position. That's always beneficial to you because you can always move players around and not worry about having a blank in that position when you have someone that has more than one position in place, you know, that have more than one position that they can cover. Like Ben Zobrist, he's a second baseman, shortstop, and he's an outfielder. Now that covers the infield and the outfield, so he can go anywhere. He's not just a left fielder or a right fielder. He's an outfielder. So if he's got second base, second shortstop, and outfielder, now you're at an advantage over your opponent because the fact is you have the flexibility of putting very good players in different positions to cover your gaps that you don't have a player that you would normally put in there. And you still can rack up some decent points. So you have to think about that. Hanley Ramirez, he's third baseman and shortstop. Like I already mentioned, Ben Zobrist, Marco Scaturro, he wasn't too bad last year. From San Francisco, he played multi-positions. Danny Espinosa from Washington, he's getting better and better. He handles more than one position. So there's guys out there that that you can pick up and probably guys that are going to help you this year do quite a bit. Excuse me. So you have to look at these guys when you're drafting and try to scoop them up without jeopardizing a coveted draft position. So let's say you're in the sixth or seventh round, eighth round, you can pick up Ben Zobrist, okay, probably in the fifth round fifth round, somewhere around that. If you don't grab one of the highly coveted or get a chance to get one of the top 10 shortstops. Because out of the top 10 of those shortstops, only one of them is multi-positional, and that's Hanley Ramirez. For the most part, the top 10 of the shortstops all handle one position. So for your backup, you grab somebody like a Marco Scaturro, who I really like, or Danny Espinosa, who I really like. Because these guys are going to give you decent numbers. Scaturro more than Espinosa, but they're going to give you decent backup numbers. Let me put it that way. All right, decent numbers you can put them into your positions that you want. Same goes for, let's move to the second basemen. And this holds true for all of them. You know, it's just not the shortstops. I just happen to be talking about shortstops. For the most part, there's a lot of second basemen high in the draft that you draft, like a Robinson Cano or Ian Kinsler or Pedroia or Ricky Weeks or somebody like that. That's their only position. So you grab somebody like that in the maybe earlier rounds, maybe not like Aaron Hill or Ricky Weeks, but if you grab a second baseman early, then you got to get somebody that's going to cover your ass later on. And that means that you got to grab somebody that's going to give you some decent numbers and also can play multiple positions, like a Steve Lombardozzi or Jerry Hairston Jr., something like that. Like that, it's not. He's not going to be your like a Robinson Cano, but he can give you decent numbers. And they're the type of player that can play more than one position. So if you have one of these top guys, say you have Ian Kinsler, okay? I just say you have Ian Kinsler, okay? And he's just a one position guy, okay? He's out. Well, maybe you can get Jeff Kepinger or, like I said, Harrison or Lombardozzi to jump in there. And then you can put somebody in the some other position to cover. Always have multi-positional players on your team. You just can't get players on your team that cover one position because you're shortchanging yourself. And you'll be at the bottom of the totem pole in your standings because you're limiting yourself to one position for each player versus getting players that have the position, have the ability to be flexible, and the flexibility for you to move them around. Third baseman, let me go to third baseman. Let me see, for instance, in third baseman, what we can look at here. And believe it or not, the third base position seems like it's a bit more versatile than the second baseman and the shortstop. Like the Evan Longoria. He can in AL only leagues or mixed leagues, he can play the DH. Adrian Beltre is the same way. Martin Prado, he's a multi-positional player. Third base in the outfield, can play the outfield. Michael Young can play three positions, first base, third base, and a DH. So there's a lot of guys in the top, and that's in the top 25, and I'm not naming all of them, but there's a lot of guys, a lot more guys in the third base position, a third base category, than the shortstop and the second baseman that are more versatile. So look and do your homework, and you can probably grab some guys that are going to be, I wouldn't say surprises, but are going to be guys that are going to benefit you greatly. Kyle Seager from Seattle. Now, that's in a 12-team league. He's the 12th third baseman, but he plays second base also. So realize this guy, he's not well-known. Like I said, he's from Seattle, the Pacific Northwest. Only probably diehard fantasy baseball players know about Kyle Seager or Sager. But he's not Miguel Cabrera. He's not Evan Longoria or Wright or Beltre or that. But he's not that far off. I understand that he is not, like I said, he's not a well-known name, but he can give you solid production. He's not going to be a big home run hitter. He's not going to be a big RBI hitter. But to fill in, he'll still give you solid numbers. And depending on where he's playing in the American League, he'll still give you solid numbers. Michael Young, even though he may not be the power hitter, excuse me, that you're looking for, he can give you solid RBIs. And batting average. There's a few guys. There's quite a few guys out there. And trying to think of who else can I give you that Let me put some look at somebody from the bottom part of the other side of 25. That could be this guy. I do believe this guy is going to have a decent year and give you more than one option for a position. How about, and you guys can get this guy on a real cheap, and I like this team because this team always generates a lot of offense. I really like this team, and I'm going to give you a guy here. And you're going to say, come on, man. You really think so? Yes, I do really think so. Matt Carpenter, all right? He's listed as a first baseman, third baseman, and outfielder. He can cover all three positions. He's not going to give you spectacular numbers. He's not a big power hitter. He's hit for a decent average. He may not even get 400 at-bats. But keep in mind that your players can get hurt. They do have days off, and you want to be able to have a decent output from a player that's taken one of your main players' place. So Matt Carpenter, with an average draft position of over 290, probably can get him on the cheap. Well, you can get him on the cheap. I can tell you that right now. On a real cheap. It may be a good, decent play. Sometimes you have to take these guys on a gut feeling. Eric Chavez is another one that's got a couple of positions that he can play. From Arizona, Eric Chavez from Arizona. Matt Carpenter, like I said, is from St. Louis. So let's move on to the, let me see, I went to the shortstops, went to the second baseman, went to the third baseman. Let's go to first base. Didn't touch first base. Usually first base has only two positions for the most part. No, I shouldn't say two positions, three positions. And the third position is the DH. First baseman usually handles the first base, outfield, and DH. They don't play the other positions of the infield. Everybody knows that. Here's a guy I picked up last year. Played all over the field, was very, very, had a career year, and he's moved up in the rankings in a position, a first base position, and gives you solid numbers, home runs, RBIs and scoring runs and batting average. And like I said, I love the St. Louis Cardinals because they generate a lot of offense. I think they were the best offensive team in baseball, if I'm not mistaken. Alan Craig. Almost a career 300 hitter. It's going to give you about between 20 and 25 home runs, give or take. Probably close to 100 RBIs, probably in the 90s in RBIs. It's going to steal you not that many bases. His on-base percentage in the mid-threes, like 300, 350. Not 300, 350, somewhere around there. And he plays multiple positions, first base and the outfield. That's where you mainly see him. Every now and then, I think he played in the infield, but not enough to, besides the first base. Did he play anywhere else? I'm trying to think. No, he didn't. He only played first base in the outfield. And they were spotting him at times, but I think he's really proven himself. He had a career year last year, like I said. And I know I've talked about this before, but this guy has a history. I know I talked about guys that having career years are going to take a step back. I understand that. this guy has been consistent. He had a career year last year, but he's been basically been consistent. He the year before when they won the World Series, he was very instrumental in helping them win the World Series. And and he followed it with a career year. So I'm saying to this that even though he may take a step back, is not a bad step back. Let me put it that way. Just like I said to the other guys, they may take a step back, but that step back, how much of a step back? And I'm in particular talking about Mike Trout. He was a rookie last year. He had a phenomenal year, came on the scene, burst on the scene, but how many times have you seen a player, especially a rookie, burst on the scene and the following year, they regress. They take a step back. Well, I do believe that's going to happen to Mike Trout. Because it's hard to put up those type of numbers year in and year out. So I think he's going to regress this year. And the big year for Mike Trout is to come off of his second year and be able to put up monster numbers. Not to say that his numbers will be anything to sneeze about, but... And I'm getting off what I was talking about, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, or Mike Trout. So I don't need to go any further with that. I'm beating a dead horse there when I say that, so I don't need to go any further with that. What I'm saying is this. What I'm basically saying is that you want guys that are versatile. You want guys that are able to play multiple positions to benefit you, so you're not stuck with an open position on a day that you could have filled it with a player if you had pulled them. And there's always, during a year, that you're going to get guys that are surprise players. You just have to be on the lookout and grab them before anyone else. That's all you have to do. You have to grab them before anyone else. I truly believe that. All right, we got about 17 minutes left in the show. The number to call on is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. I know you heard that before. Closers. I went to first baseman, I went to second baseman, a shortstop, third base. Let's go to the outfield. And see some of the players that you may want to pick up late in the draft. How about that are versatile? Like I said, the most versatile position in fantasy is the third base position. These guys can play multiple positions. They have the most guys that can play multiple positions. Let me put it that way. Second baseman, shortstop are not. First baseman are limited, basically to the first base or the outfield, and sometimes to the catcher. The outfielders, for the most part, some of them are versatile, some of them aren't. Quite naturally, that makes no sense what I said there, but you know what I'm talking about. Mark Trumbull, it plays three positions. Chris Davis from Baltimore plays three positions. And that, you know, Mark Trumbull, you probably can get him in the eighth round. Eighth round, seventh round, somewhere around there. If he's sitting out there, um, sitting out there with that, you know, I would grab him. If Mark Trumbull was sitting out there still in the eighth round, seventh round, I'd jump all over him because I do believe he's going to have a decent year. And seventh or eighth round, in my opinion, is pretty cheap for him, especially with the team that they're going to have in Anaheim with Josh Hamilton, with Mike Trout, and then Mark Trumbull. So that's a heck of an outfield, and then you got the infield with Albert Pujols. That's a heck of a lineup to go against for any pitcher to go against, with the power and the hitting ability of all those guys. All right, let's move on to this. Let's move on to this. Let's move on to this. Sorry about that, people. I'm trying to negotiate my internet here, and it's not cooperating. Let's go on to this. Lakers are a story. The Heat are a story. The Lakers are trying to make a mad dash to get to the playoffs. Supposedly, Dwight Howard has rededicated himself or whatever. And a quote from him is, "I'm just told myself I'm going to commit myself to getting better for the second half of the season." So where the hell were you at in the first half of the season? Where the hell were you at? I mean, come on. This guy's a grown-ass man, and I guess he's been fighting the fact that he didn't like Kobe pushing him because he's never had anybody push him before, like he's supposed to be being pushed. He shouldn't have to be pushed. Grown-ass man. To me, Dwight Howard's a big baby. Big baby. Come on, man. You're supposed to be the most dominating center. Supposed to be one of the most dominating centers in basketball. Can't hit a field goal. Excuse me. Can't hit a free throw to save your life. And you need to be pushed. You've been playing in the league for how long? And you need to be pushed? So you get a guy like Kobe, and you don't care about nothing but going out there and playing hard. And you say this is a lesson you have to learn? Well, you never have to play hard? See, that's the problem I have here. And it seems to be for a lot of, and I'm not bashing on big men, but I guess I am. It seems to be for a lot of big men. A lot of big men go out there and because they're big and they have the size on a lot of people, they figure they don't have to play that hard because the fact is they're bigger than most guys, and they just can coast and let all the little guys run around lack of a better word, chill out on the court. You can't do that, especially against some superstars, especially when you're playing with somebody like Kobe Bryant. That ain't happening. You got to get the effort just like he is. He ain't going to stand for it. He's going to be all up in your neck, all up in your grill, all up in your chest, telling you about yourself, talking to you about yourself until you start playing like he thinks you can, the way he thinks you can play. And it takes the second half of the season for Dwight Howard to realize that? Come on, man. Come on. See, you know, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's okay, you know? I mean, he's been playing in the league, and you have to think that for all those people that don't like Kobe Bryant or players like Kobe Bryant, when a good player or even a marginal player comes to a team that has a player like Kobe Bryant, you can tell their player gets elevated because they're taking cues from their big man. They're taking not big man in size, but their big man as in their superstar player like a Kobe Bryant, like a LeBron James, like a Dwayne Wade, like a like a Michael Jordan. Because he's playing hard, and you go about how he does his business. And if you do a copy of some of the things that he's doing, you have no choice but to get better. You have no choice to play better. And they won't allow you to not do those things because they're striving to get a championship. They're striving to get into the playoffs and have the opportunity to get into the championship. So they're going to be pushing all their teammates to do as I do as I say, because I'm doing those things that are necessary and I want to get there. And in order for me to get there, I have to get you on board to get there. And this is a quote from Dwight Howard. And guys, you should take note of this because this is a big time incentive for you. This is a quote. I told him, meaning Kobe Bryant, I'm afraid to miss. When I get out there, I don't want to miss. And I end up missing. And Kobe Bryant said, and he was like, you know what? Shoot 1,000 jump shots a day. You're going to miss a lot of those shots. But that's okay, because you're teaching yourself it's okay to miss. And this is another quote. Now I see it. He gets out there, and he might miss a couple of threes, but then he'll make 9 in a row. You see that, and it just kind of gives you more inspiration, because the fact is you have to have a short memory. You have to have the heart to accept failure. Not be afraid to grab it or take the chance and you know that every time that you take that chance, you're not going to succeed. Sometimes you're going to fail. So you have to be willing to fail. It's not pretty. It's not a good thing, but you have to take the chance. You have to be willing to fail. That's why Kobe Bryant is one of the best closers in the league, because he's willing to fail. He's willing to take that last shot. Give me the ball when my team needs me the most, when the game's on the line, I'll take it. I'll take the weight if I don't make it, and quite naturally, I'll get the accolades when I do. But I'm willing to take that weight. I'm willing to fail because that's what's in me. I'm willing to do that. Some guys, there's a lot of guys you see at the end of a game, end of a basketball game, end of a football game, that are not willing to stick themselves out there because they're afraid to fail. The champions, the guys that exceed, the guys that reap the rewards are the ones that are willing to take that chance, are willing to fail. Give me the ball. You got one of the best closers ever, Michael Jordan. Didn't make every shot, but he was willing to take that shot. Carmelo Anthony's another one. LeBron, even though he hasn't made a lot of them, he has made some of them. Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade. These are guys, and I'm not shortchanging anybody, or Kevin Durant. These are guys that are willing to take the shot and willing to take the hit if they don't make it. But you got to be willing to take the shot. You got to be willing to take the shot. If you don't, what good is it? What good is it? That means you shrink under pressure. That means you're not a prime time player. That's all I can say about that. You know what? I'm going to end this show like this. I opened it up with Timbaland and wishing him a happy birthday, playing Carry Out featuring Justin Timberlake. I'm going to end it the same way. I'm going to play the whole jam of Timbaland to close this show out. I want to thank you for calling. I want to thank you for listening to my show. Be the Master Plan. I'm here every 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. Next week, stay tuned because I may not be talking about sports next week. I may be talking about some type of social issue. It's about that time I can jump in. I know there's fantasy baseball. I know there's basketball. I know there's March Madness is coming up soon. But I may be jumping into the social media for right here and talking about something that's a social issue. But we'll see. It may be social or maybe sports. Tune in and you'll find out. Hopefully you want to call in and talk. Hopefully you listen in on and just listen to the conversation. Or if you want to jump into the chat room, it's always there for you. I do that for you and only for you. That's, like I said, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in on Thursday. I'll be the host of the FSP Cruise Show along with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. And we talk about fantasy sports and politics, some a little of each. 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is where we're going to be. On Friday, it's the No Chaser Show. Straight, unadulterated talk between myself and Mac Williams, who's the host, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And once we finish with Friday night, we come back in Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It's the FSP Show, the mothership, the show that started it all. I'll be the host of that. So Victor's away, Victor Gardner, who is the original host of that, who is the host of that show, is away doing his thing. Won't be back until late April. So you get me. I started off on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then you get me again on Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then I run right back again, co-host on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then to end the week, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sunday, Master Plan. Thursday is the FSP Cruise Show. Friday, the No Chaser Show. And Saturday is the FSP Show. All those shows are meant for you. All those shows are all sports except for the No Chaser on Friday. But you pick your show. You pick your poison, who you like. And listen to it and hope you enjoy it. Thanks for calling. Like I started this show, I'm going to end the show with this. Life's the sphere. What goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, he can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future. And I'll say it again. So be careful how you treat people. Do unto others as others do unto you. Peace and blessings. Happy birthday, Timbaland. And that's how we're going to close your show. Peace out.
I have you open all night like your eye. I'll take you home, baby, let you keep me company. You give me some of you, I give you some of me. You look good, baby, but taste heavenly. I'm pretty sure that you got your
pick it up, yeah, I like you. I just can't get enough, I gotta drive through. Cause it's me, you, you, me, me, you. All night, have it your way, for play, before I beat your appetite. Let me get my ticket, baby, let me get in line. I can tell the way you like it, baby, super size. Hold on, you got yours, let me get mine. I ain't leaving till they turn up on the clothesline. Check it.
Take my order, cause your body like a hit me up. Let me walk into your body till you hear me out. Turn me on, my baby, don't you let me out. Turn me on, my baby, don't you let me out. Take my order, cause your body like a hit me up. And let me walk into your body till it's out. Turn me on, my baby, don't you let me out. Turn me on, my baby, don't you let me out. Number one, I take two, number three. That's a whole